Welcome everybody to the OpenIDL Node Builder Workshop session number 4. We're talking about Hyperledger Fabric Operator. I am going to stop. With all meetings, this is held on the Linux Foundation Antitrust Policy. If you have any questions about these matters, please contact your company counsel, or if you're a member of the Linux Foundation, feel free to contact Andrew Updegrub of the firm Gesmer Updegrub LLP, which provides legal counsel to the Linux Foundation. I'm going to stop sharing. I'm going to turn it over to Svetan, and let me make sure we are recording. We are recording. All right, Svetan, take it away.
All right. Thanks, Sean. And welcome, everyone. give me a second to share my screen and adjust some of my applications. As last time, I had some issues, so let me see if that's going to work fine.
Welcome, Margo.
Share. Hey everyone, Sean, just let me know if you can see my screen.
I can see your screen and it is legible. Yeah, we're looking at 4 AWX setup and configuration.
Yeah, okay, perfect. Let's go with the presentation. Hey, hello everyone. Let's start. Let's kick it off. we had a nice session last time. Where we went through a couple of things. So for today, we'll do more or less the same agenda, where we will be doing some quick recap on what we did the last time. After that, we'll proceed to the next step, which will be to deploy the Fabric operator. Because so far we did everything to configure aux and configure some jump templates to achieve that. And shortly after we are done with that, we'll see where we stand in terms of timing. And if we have some time left, we may touch a bit on the next topic of the session. So trying to speed up and squeeze things up in case we have some free time. So what we did the last time, so it was all about setting up aux, and this is actually the place, that's the wiki. As I explained the last time, it's always a good good idea to go and check the latest version there, because we may be doing updates on the go depending on the feedback and on the outcome of the sessions. So what we did the last time is actually to set up aux, and essentially that was about creating an organization in aux, then creating a project for our own deployment. Then we had to set up an inventory that's essentially setting up the address or the host of our Bastion machine that acts as a remote agent for our Ansible-based jobs that we'll be running today. After that, we had to create a couple of credentials. Again, a couple of very important type of credentials for letting the Ansible playbooks having access to different resources. One of the most important ones is essentially the Kubernetes clusters, where we are, and we will be running the Fabric operator, Hyperledger Fabric nodes, and later on we will be deploying the OpenIDL applications. So that page, we have all the credentials listed with the definition how actually to create them in aux. And the last step we did was to create the job templates. Those templates are essentially a configuration of the jobs, and those jobs are actually, we assign credential. That's the most important thing. It's assign credential to those templates. And today we'll be running those jobs to perform the different steps of the deployment process of the Fabric operator to start with. So here in the on the page, wiki page, we have a list of those templates and essentially what credentials you have to assign to them and what each of those templates are about. So as I explained last time, I just want to reiterate again, most of those, templates are done in a way that you could bypass some of them if you want to do things manually. So we try to put a lot of flexibility in there. That's why every step of the process of the deployment process has a dedicated Ansible job to for the purpose. Of course, we could do Ox gives us a lot of flexibility in terms of sequencing all the steps where we can create template workflows and essentially trigger the whole deployment process within a sequential step workflow. After that, we talked about the node configuration, and this is essentially the specific configuration that defines our node. And that configuration file is essentially used by the Ansible playbooks to bootstrap the required resources. So we had to configure those. And there is a good example. Actually, that's a template file. You just need to copy locally in your private Git repository and then configure a bunch of settings like the main domain, like the org ID, or this is the organization ID that all of us should have. And then we have the environment ID, the AWS account number, the region, the contact email. As I explained, that's been used in different places, for example, for the cert manager to get notifications, for example, if certificates are about to expire. I'm talking, referring here to SSL, the SSL certificates of the OpenIDL applications. And then we have to configure what type of node we want to deploy, which in our case is obviously carrier. And essentially those settings are enough to get the things going. So pretty much straightforward. There are a lot of technical settings behind that are based on templating and some naming convention. And the most important thing here also to stress on is that we could use that configuration file to override those different parameters in case, for example, we need to deal with a more complex deployment like doing multi-tenant deployments on the same Kubernetes clusters or on the same AWS account. So that's also possible. In our case, of course, we have one AWS account that corresponds to our node deployment. So we are kind of going in a single tenant approach. I'm just saying that it's possible to adjust those configuration and achieve multi-tenant deployment. Okay, so let's go to the next steps then. And what we'll be doing today, so we'll be running essentially the Ox jobs, okay, that we'll be launching them out of the templates that we created last time. And we will be doing that one by one in the required sequence. And the sequence is pretty much already defined on the wiki page. Okay, that's step six, which is the node deployment. And have in mind that that page contains all the steps still deploying the applications. But today we will be just reaching the point where we will be having the Fabric operator up and running. So we can actually start deep diving after that into the Fabric operator console, which is our Hyperledger Fabric management tool to do very different things, from deploying a peer to governing the node and essentially deploying chain codes, joining channels, and doing all those fancy stuff that are required when we join the OpenIDL network. Okay, so what I'll do first, let's take a look at the configuration file that I have prepared in our private Git repository. Okay, so that's the let me go that so you can get an idea of again, what it looks like on our side. And my org ID is N107. Let me open that. I've created my local branch. I mentioned there is a naming convention where this config YAML file should stay and how it should be named, should be placed and named. So for example, our main domain that will be using for my node is WS, which is essentially workshop one, test.sanofi.net. Of course, in your environment, it will be something very different depending on what you choose as the main domain for the node. Org ID is 107, environment ID is 107 test. That's, by the way, the same that we've used already when we deployed the use the Terraform job to provision some essential AWS resources as Kubernetes the Kubernetes clusters, the users, some secrets, and all of those things. That's the account number. There is nothing a secret here. It's just our internal account number. We have the contact email, again, as I explained, used in different parts, different steps of the deployment process, like for the certificate, cert manager that's issuing certificates. What's the region? What's the type? Obviously, we're deploying a carrier. And essentially, that is the whole configuration I have to do. Yeah. So let's go to the next step. Right. So what I'll be doing here, I will we'll reach to a point where we will be deploying the fabric operator. And essentially, that is the first step of the deployment process of our node. Okay, that's the most essential one. Just refresh. Okay. Good. So let me open my box. Okay, that's my workshop node I've been using. Okay. And what I'll do, I'll log in. And what we did the last time again, here in terms of created credentials. So we have them already created and captured in here, and we have the templates. Okay. Now, just to actually get a better understanding on what's going on, what I'll do, I'll run a connection to my Kubernetes cluster. So you can we can get a better understanding on what kind of things get created throughout the deployment steps. So there is a tool, K9S. It's a terminal-based tool, very visual, and allows you easily to actually browse through the different resources of the Kubernetes clusters that you're connected to. It's essentially based on kubectl command line. So here, I strongly recommend the tool, by the way. It saves a lot of time typing in. So I'll just open that one. I'll keep it aside. So we will, with every step, we will go and check. We may refer to that tool and go check what happens in the Kubernetes cluster throughout the deployment. Okay, so let's see what the first step is. Okay, so the first step is to actually do an environment setup. This is something that's required by the rest of the deployment steps. And essentially what it is doing is jumping to the Bastion host. You know, that's a machine that we provision through the Terraform script in the beginning of the our journey. And essentially what that playbook does is to install some open source tools and libraries that are required to connect to the Kubernetes clusters throughout the deployment process. Okay. So things like AWS CLI or some Python libraries that we use for Ansible and a lot more. Nothing complex, but it needs to be run once. Okay. So go here, I'll fetch the template, which is named environment setup. All I need to do is navigate to the template and launch it. Okay. So after I launch the template, I should be seeing here what's going on in terms of execution of the steps. They're mainly technical, so I won't be explaining them one by one. It's just the high level. If everything is configured correctly, essentially that should be executed successfully within a minute or two.
Quick question for you about this, actually.
Yep.
So given that we'll probably be, at least at Hanover, running these manually rather than using aux, is it possible to expand these to see the actual commands being run so that I can harvest them and run them by hand instead?
Yes, you could. So first of all, I'll show you a bit So if you go to Git, as I explained, I think last time, that those playbooks are part of the OpenIDL project. Okay, so they're open for you to read through. That's in this repository. Actually, aux downloads them from Git. That how it executes them. So if I go and check, for example, the environment setup, right? So let's take that one, for example. Wait, I need to open and see what it refers to. Where was that? Deploy environment setup. Here we go. Okay. So essentially from here, you can see what exactly is being called, what roles are being called. And you can navigate to each one of those and see what they're installing. So we'll just take a look at one. But for example, we are installing some packages like Git, JQ, GCC, Python 3. We do set up kubectl, of course. All of those things that usually if you run those things manually, you may want to do that from the command line on your local machine, or it might not be local machine, it could be a remote machine in the cloud. It doesn't really matter. Okay. So the only thing is that those commands are written to be specific for a Linux machine. It's just because they execute on the Bastion, which is Linux image, AWS Linux image on the cloud.
And so this is running against the build VM? Not the K8s cluster?
Yes, it is running against the Bastion machine, which is a Linux machine. So okay. Let me just open the AWS so you could get a better understanding in EC2. If it's another cloud, you're going to do exactly probably the same thing. Because there are some... there are some essential credentials that are being stored locally on that remote machine. So we don't want to keep them on the local, like on your local laptop from where you run them.
Right,
so that's
right.
Why we always say you bootstrap a dedicated EC2 or whatever Azure machine and secure it so you can access it through securely through SSH from you know, well-defined host, for example, you could
put so we have done that. I guess another quick question is, I saw that the Linux version that this Bastion's built on top of is Arch. Are any of these packages Arch specific, or does it matter? I know that like
Yeah, you could. So, for example, the image of that machine is some Amazon specific, but it could be a plain Ubuntu. You can pick any Ubuntu you like. And the only thing is that there might be slight differences in terms of versions of the packages that are being installed. So I would say that it's very compatible that you get to install the same things on any machine you have, regardless of what it is. So let me put my mouse very second.
It's getting kind of crunchy. I wasn't sure if that was my machine. We're having massive storms here.
Thought it was my machine too.
Okay, it's all our machines. I just made you the host, Svetan, just in case it's on me. Svetan, can you hear us? I can see your screen.
Oh.
Can you hear me?
You're cutting out a little bit. That background noise is my dog being weird.
Oh, that's strange. That's strange. Let me see.
Surya and Margot, can you hear me?
Yes.
We might have lost Surya for a second there. Hey, Svetan, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can. I'm not sure. Right. Yeah, is it okay now? Back.
You sound good. I'm going to mute again.
Okay, it's fine. I just, something happened on my machine. I don't know. It just went really laggy and okay. Just, you know, if there is any, if I'm cutting, let me know right away, okay?
You got it.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, so, yeah, for example, that's the log of those things. So as you see here, what's been installed on the machine, you know, that's using YAM and whatnot. It's, I mean, for the details, you can go and take a look at the Ansible playbooks and roles, for example, just for the sake of, yeah, for example, we use Helm, so we install Helm as well, kubectl. We use, what else we use? Vault, right? So we use Vault client, so that's why we also do install Vault. So again, if I go and check the setup, where is that setup? And for example, what else we install? Maybe we install as well some Fabric tools. Let me see if I can find those. Yeah, you see that Hyperledger Fabric tools libraries. Those are the command lines. So Hyperledger Fabric tools, for example, if I take a look at that, and under task. So it is just downloading some versions from Git and doing some link and just downloading the couple of libraries, actually tools from Hyperledger Fabric that we are using, like, you know, those are throughout the specific steps of the process. Okay. So from here, you can find the versions and everything. Essentially, if you find something that's a parameter here in Ansible, for example, Fabric tools URL, you either can find them in the under the defaults, okay, So for example, let's say Fabric Tools URL, and this is where we've done the template of the variable. So you can see what the version is and from where it actually comes, okay? So of those, as I explained before, those are more or less part of the project. So the reason we go with the default settings, of course, you could overwrite if you want to, is just because those are the versions we use to test the end-to-end deployment. And obviously, if we need to bump up the version or jump to a newer release of Hyper Ledger Fabric, we should be doing the same test in order to bump the version. So that's what we have as a base right now. In the future, of course, we could do upgrades. Okay, so with the first step, we've got through the, let's see what was that job result successful. Okay, so that's very good. So we have the Bastion machine set up with all the open source libraries we need to proceed with the next steps. Okay, so let's see what the next step is. Okay, good. Deploy Fabric Ingress. Okay. So that is very essential part. It is a step that will create Kubernetes ingress controller. And if I have to jump on the Kubernetes cluster and just to take a look on at what we're having right now, let's say what kind of ingress classes we have right now. So we have Nginx. I think that's the one I already deployed, but it's if you have a brand new cluster, that's very likely to be empty for you. It doesn't matter. Essentially, where that ingress class is defined, it is, again, something that you could configure. The default configuration is to name it Nginx. If you wonder where that's coming from, there is, of course, a playbook to do that. And if I have to show you what it looks like, deploy, let me find that. It's set up. Okay, so deploy Fabric Ingress. And what it is doing, it is actually going to the blockchain cluster and including crawl names, Nginx Ingress. If I go and check the Nginx Ingress row, you see here what's been done. Essentially, by the way, if there is to support another cloud provider, we would be the approach to do that is to essentially add the implementations inside as a dedicated row inside a dedicated YAML file inside the same row. Okay. So, for example, that row is going and doing create. And as you see here, it is installing the cert manager. Okay. And it the reason, again, I explained before, that we need the cert manager to provide, to inject certificates for our OpenIDL applications. So it is a playbook that does that for us as well. And create some cert issuers. And the ingress is right in there, install ingress controller. If I have to take a look at it, it is using the Helm to install that controller. So there is a template, which is called, you see what that is, values something. And that's essentially the Helm value file that's used to install the controller. So it's through Helm. Okay. So let's run that. And go back to our templates. And do deploy Fabric Ingress. Okay. I'll go and launch it. Okay. So if I go back to my Kubernetes cluster, I should be seeing here some ingresses showing up. And the other thing that should happen is when you deploy a new ingress, it should as well create a load balancer for us in AWS. So if I go here and take a look at the load balancers, let me see if I have something available from the previous runs. Yeah, I do have some load balancers, but essentially what should happen is to get a new set of load balancers for our Kubernetes cluster. Okay, so it's installing the cert manager. All right. So as you see here, I'm having that playbook successful, which is a good sign. And let me see if it will reuse whatever. Yeah, it's probably reusing whatever is there. It's just because I did a dry run before the exercise. But here, if I go and check the ingress, oops. Do I need to do what I'm clicking on? Wait. Yeah, it's as I explained, I did already the dry run. So that's why we have already created resources in there. Okay, so the next step is gonna be the DNS config blockchain. Okay, so the idea here is to create records in our Route 53 so that we could expose our nodes to the outside world. Okay. So essentially what this playbook will do, it will go and make entries in Route 53. So if I open it up. Okay. So this is the hosted zone. I already have some entries in there. I'll run the playbook and see what it's gonna do. It's essentially where the playbook is gonna assign the DNS name to the route them, assign them to the route them to the Kubernetes clusters. Essentially, that's go through the load balancers that we already have. Okay, so we go to templates. And I'll do, what was that? What was again, deploy DNS something. DNS config will be okay. Now launch it. Okay, let me go back here. As you see, it creates dedicated hosted zones. Okay. So let's see what just happened here. Okay, that's the one where I'm records. Wait, hosted zone. I need to go to the hosted zones. So see, it created the one for our nodes. And essentially, what I do expect to get here is that all of my DNS names that end with net, this is my name main domain. Okay, net is of course a setting. You could change that, but out of the box, this is actually, I'll show you where it is, so you get a better understanding of the configuration file. Wait, you open the configuration in Git. Yeah, there it is. So as you see here,
hey, are you showing a different screen? Yeah. We are looking at the documentation, AWX setup and the configuration.
Looking at config.yaml on
GitHub. You should be seeing the config.yaml right now, right?
You just highlighted console domain colon net.
That's what I did.
Oh, really? But I my screen got stuck. Okay, no worries.
Maybe try to reconnect or something. Okay, so essentially that's the domain here. If you see it properly, it should be the one that's being used to create the DNS configuration in there. Okay. So again, if we check where all of those will go, essentially that will be a few endpoints. That's why it's a star, but all of them refer to containers that essentially point to the Rappel-Edge Fabric Kubernetes cluster. Okay. Good. Can we see? Let me see if I can show you the. Okay. So as you see, it routes the traffic to this load balancer, which is AFCD. And if I copy that ID and I open the load balancer screen, it's a very essential part of the networking, by the way. And I go and check the load balancer that was created when we ran the previous playbook. I don't know why it's slow. Yeah, now it's on. And if I check that load balancer, and you will see that it opens for 443 and 80. So target group. And you see that it refers to the three nodes. Actually, those are the machines that essentially form the blockchain cluster. Okay, those are the worker nodes of the Kubernetes cluster of the Hyperledger/blockchain cluster. All right. So let's see. Oops, if that. Can I move that thing? Yeah, I can. Awesome. The thing is, I don't like where it's located. Just let me. Okay. More. Okay, height maybe. That's gonna do the job. No, it doesn't. Wait, let me see if I can. Oh, where to put that thing? Okay, whatever. I think that's going to be a better location than the one on top. Okay, so I have that successful. So where we ended up now is, just to recap, we run three jobs. One is to set up the environment, as I explained, set up the Bastion machine, the agent machine for our Ansible, installing some client software and libraries. Oh, that's open source, by the way. Then we deployed the Fabric Ingress, which is supposed to create our Ingress classes, and as well our load balancers. Then we run the DNS config with that playbook. We create an entry in Route 53, so we can route all the traffic to particular domain name to our Hyperledger Fabric cluster. On that cluster, again, we'll be running a bunch of endpoints. It's the peer, it's the Fabric console, it's the vault, and we'll see what else later. Okay, so let's continue with the next step. Okay, so the next step is to deploy Vault. Okay. Why we need Vault? Well, because Vault is used, that's the HashiCorp Vault, by the way, again, another cool product, open source product, free to use. And we use it to keep in a secure way to keep the Hyperledger Fabric users' credentials. In other words, that's the certificates and the private keys to access and talk to and transact to on the Hyperledger Fabric network. Mm-hmm. So what that playbook is going to do is to create the Vault cluster on our Hyperledger Fabric Kubernetes cluster. And it will also securely store the access credential to that Vault instance in AWS as secrets. Actually, those are AWS. Let me show you. There is a cool thing in AWS, which is named Secrets Manager. Okay. And that secret manager can store anything actually in a secure way. So of course it's everything is paid in AWS, but that's the way it is. So we have the we don't have any secrets so far, right? We don't. Yeah, perfect. So you'll see that after I run that playbook, there will be a bunch of secrets created here, and this is how how and where the access credential for Vault are located. You know, Vault is something that you need to unseal to use. So there are a bunch of keys that are also stored here that are used to unseal a Vault. If you want to move data somewhere or, you know, extend the cluster and all those things. So there are a bunch of secrets that are being created. As well, there is a secret that contains the user and password for the applications and to actually talk to Vault. The OpenIDL applications, right? So they need to transact on the blockchain. So they need to fetch information like the private key of the user. So to fetch those private keys that are stored in Vault, they need to connect to Vault, get authorized, fetch the private key to sign the transaction, and send it on the blockchain. Okay, let's run that playbook. Okay, going to the job template again, and I'll say launch. Okay, essentially at that point of time, if you're about to deploy the complete node, And essentially, you just follow the steps. It shouldn't take more than an hour. If you face issues, of course, with the configurations and all of that, but if you've done everything correct up to now, the next steps are essentially pretty much straightforward and quick to finish. Okay, so let's see if there are secrets. Not yet. And why it failed? That's not good. I did something wrong. Okay, so let's see what is the issue. I didn't expect that, but let's see what it is. Validate failed to call webhook. So webhook, that is related to working ingress service. This is in those cases where you need to have access to the Kubernetes cluster in order to troubleshoot. I think I faced this before. Let me see what might be wrong. Okay, so I'll open the my Kubernetes cluster. Am I seeing everything? Yes. Let me see if I have my ingresses. No, I have no ingress created, which is not good because that's something that I expect to get created for the vault instance that I'm creating. So those are my issuers. And that means that cluster issuers, let me see if I have my okay, that's my cert manager. And webhooks configurations, let me see. Okay, so those webhooks are in place, and usually when I face such kind of thing, this means when I did the dry run previously, I did not delete all the resources or deleted them partially. So this means that it did not install everything properly because I had to intervene manually. So you see there is the network external admission. Failed calling webhook. So there something did not work correctly. So what I would do, I'll actually wipe out the existing webhooks and will actually let the, so there is one that must have been created, but it did not get created, not sure why. That one is the Hyperledger Fabric admission, that's the cert manager webhook. So let me see if I can delete completely the namespace and get rid of those things. Cert manager, yeah, probably I need to wipe out that, this one, and the vault is up and running, but not quite. Okay, so I'll delete the namespaces and I'll repeat those steps again. That would be the safest way of doing it. So let me terminate the namespace for the vault. I'll recreate that again, just to make sure I don't have any secrets created so far, because that's something I cannot delete from here. I will wipe out the Nginx. So I'll run the same playbook before to reinstall the Serp Manager and the Nginx. So do delete. And I'll terminate that namespace as well. Let me just go and check my route 53 entry because I need to clear the hosted zone that got created. So I'll be running the same playbook again. All right, let me see if I can delete, I need to wipe out the A entry, so I'll delete the record. Okay. Just wait to get that wiped out. Let me see if my ingresses and everything got deleted or those webhooks. Okay, still not deleted. Still terminating. Okay, that part is done. What else? Cluster issuers. Let me see if I have to wipe out things from. Yeah, those things are probably okay, but I can delete them as well. For the cert manager to work properly. Okay, I'll wipe out the webhooks as well so they can get recreated. All right. And I hope that is all. So what I'll do, I'll go and repeat the jobs. That deploy first of all the ingress. So if I go to let's just cross check. I do expect that my load balancers are gone. They're still alive. Is that a problem? It could be. Let me see my ingress classes. Oh yeah, they're still there. Okay, let me delete that. Just want to make sure I start clean. Okay, so let's repeat the steps. Again, fabric ingress. Okay. Okay, that one is created. Now my controllers should be also created. Ingress classes. Okay, that one got created. It's reinstalling the cert manager. Okay, creating the issuers. Okay, that's success. So if I check again, it should have now the proper their validation. It's not moving. Okay. Oops, it's a bit slow. Okay. Okay, cert manager webhook. Okay. And the entries. So I have to do the entries again. That was a bit faster than I expected, but okay. See, it's creating a new load balancer. Would have waited, but anyways. Okay, it's active, it's good. And let's see again, the route 53 entries are created again. So just cross-checking. Okay, that's the new host that's on being created, and then I the entry that should go to the load balancer that got created. Oops. A2. Let's copy that. I'm just cross-checking always just to make sure that's fine. Okay, so the new load balancer got created. Awesome. Okay, so it's routing to the new one. Okay, now let's try again the vote playbook. hope now it will resolve. It sometimes it may not. You know what I can do. I just want to make sure that Route 53 entry is resolvable. Sometimes we may need to wait for that to propagate. Let me check again Route 53, and I'll try to ping it. Okay. So my DNS name for vault must be, let me open a new terminal and I'll do okay, it's pinging, so it should be fine. Let me see the job again. Let me see what's wrong with it again. Validate Nginx ingress, failed calling webhook. Getting similar error, not sure why. Nginx external ingress. The only thing I can think of is that this one, let me try again to see what are the services. And it's having an additional okay, let's see there again. So it's validate Nginx ingress. Wait, let me see the service again. It's Nginx external. I'm not sure why it's at all looking for that. It's not supposed to be Nginx external. There is no such service, obviously. So that must be a setting somewhere. Okay, let me search for that. It's not supposed to search for Nginx external, but for Nginx. It should be using that one, not the other. which means I might have an issue in my config file or somewhere in my that's not where it is. So let me see the default setting of Volt. No, that's not it. Internal domain, that should be the host, and I'll go to defaults. Vault ingress classes, Nginx. That's weird. See again in the no, those the settings. Give me a second. Vault internal domain. That should be fine. I'm not sure why it's searching for that. Should be searching for another webhook. That doesn't make much sense. It's validate ingress. Not sure what's going on here. I can take a look at another cluster that we have. Let's say take this one. And if I go check the services, no, it doesn't have the other one now. Interesting. it means something in the deployment is not configured correctly. I have to check what setting is actually is wrong. Let me describe that deployment here and see what might be. No, I need to do in YAML file. Let me see why it's looking for the wrong webhook. Must be a setting. Where does that setting might be? I'm not sure that's the thing. CD. For sure, using the same ingress, Nginx class. Let's check these those ingresses as well. Cannot reach a point to create one, which is weird. That's take a look again at the error, but okay. I have the vote. I'm not sure why it's described that again. Okay, service account. That's the cluster binding. I'm just looking at the deployment. There must be somewhere a wrong setting. Okay, injector. That's your fault agent injector webhook. PHP fault. Okay. Must be fine. Can I find okay, let me see those configurations. Engine injector configuration 15 days. That's an old one. Check the services. No, it's not supposed to do that. It's check the config maps. Okay. Actually, I need to do that. Oh, all looks good. I did redeploy everything. It's very weird. Error. I'm not quite sure why it's looking for that one. Those external ingress it should not be used at all. Shouldn't be told these external engines. Might be a leftover from my previous deployment. There's only one, no more than that. That's the only one, and it should essentially work. Need to check again the settings. Should be an ingress class somewhere. So I want to make sure that's okay. Vote. Okay, then I go to the vote ingress class. Nginx. There is no Nginx external at all. Not sure why it's looking for it. Let me check the project again, just to make sure it's loading from the proper branch. Yes, it is. There is no Nginx external. There is something that's not right with either with the configuration, or I did something wrong in my, I can't find that. Try again with the other cluster just to compare. I think that's not, might take time to investigate. That's the one, and it's been already used, and we have. Yeah, all the same. I need to find the reason why it's not, it's looking for the wrong service that's not supposed to at all search for it. It might be something because of the my previous deployment on that Kubernetes cluster. I'm not sure, and I will need to investigate further. That might take time. Let me investigate, and then with the next session we will proceed once I find the issue. Get a bit of better give you some time and better understanding of what's going on exactly. There might be some merge being done. I'm not sure. I have to check if there were any changes in the past week or something. I'm not sure about that in the branch. So I'll have to take a look at that as well. Maybe a merge of a pull request that was not supposed to happen. I have to check with my colleagues as well if they've done changes recently. So yeah, let's close the session. And with the next one, we'll continue. There is not much left. Essentially, there will be running of after that playbook, there is one more to deploy the Fabric operator and to go through the console. So that's going to be it.
Not a problem. Hey, Svetlana, we do have scheduled tomorrow for office hours. Do we want to regroup then, maybe?
Yeah, let's do that. It will be much more efficient, so we can use the same thing too. Sure thing.
So Margo and Priya, and I'll let other folks know, tomorrow office hours are at 2 p.m. Eastern. If you guys can attend, let us know, and we'll stick around starting at 2 for a little bit. If nobody shows, we're going to close up shop, but you're more than welcome to join us, and as usual, if you have any questions, feel free to just shoot an email.
Great. Yeah. So I'm not available tomorrow, but maybe Fahim is. But we'll get back to you.
Not a problem.
All right.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much, Svetlana. Fahim, Margo, Surya, you guys are awesome. I'm going to post the video from Monday. Should be going up shortly. We had to edit out something. And then this video should be going up on the wiki today. And I'll send a note out to everybody to let them know they're there.
Great. Thanks so much.
Have a great day, everybody.
This was great.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll get back to you guys later today, okay? With the outcome. Cool. Okay.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Oh, wait. Actually, Svetlana, you're the host. You have to close it out.
Oh, all right. I just end the meeting.
Just end the meeting.
Oh. All right. Good. Thank you.
Bye.